Hi, you are listening to Record of Change. Record of Change sheds lights on how the COVID-19 pandemic is reshaping the lives of individuals across the world. My name is Matthias and I'm your host for this episode. Today's episode is a special episode for three reasons. One, we celebrate 1 year of this podcast. Yay! Two, this episode marks the end of season 5. 3. This episode is the last episode of a previous format before we bring you something new. In today's episode, you will hear the team of the podcast reflecting on the experiences made in the recent weeks, reflecting back on stories we learned about during the first year of this podcast, but also introduce to you the new concept that you will find soon in your favorite podcast provider. Let's dive in. Let's start. So it's been another season. We are wrapping up season 5 now. And it's also more than a year now that we are doing this podcast. I know exactly why it's a year, because my daughter just turned 1, who was born just a week before we released the first episode or something.
Ooh, yay!
Yeah, so where are we now and where are we going? Maybe that's our headline for today. What's been new in your lives in the last weeks or months? I think the last recap episode we did was probably before the summer. I think we were still optimistic that after the summer things will look better. So, Thomas, how was your summer?
My summer was good. You know, it started really well here in New York because the infection rates were really, really low. And I went back to my office and nobody was wearing masks anymore. That's not true. But I went to a place where nobody was wearing masks. I did a road trip up the New England coast all the way to Maine. And there it really seemed like the pandemic was over. I still wasn't in that mood. I couldn't really relax and keep my mask off when I was in indoor spaces. But at that point, also the Delta variant was in the news already. So we got a little more worried again. And yeah, now I'm back at mostly doing home office again after this beautiful vacation in this COVID-free paradise.
Well, it's a short-lived experience.
Yeah, it was just a brief moment.
Stephanie, I remember you were very excited to do some traveling.
Yeah, so I would say back in May, I had the opportunity to travel here in the States. I also moved in July, and I ended up getting a new position over the summer as well. So it was kind of an eventful summer. And I feel like personally right now, I'm in a weird spot because I feel as though in the 2 months that we thought the world was going to be a little bit better, it was very happy. I feel very happy with how life is, but it still feels somewhat conflicting because I guess with everything happening with Delta, it puts a little bit of a shadow over everything, especially because I work in education. And so obviously I have a lot of students who are in person who were imagining a very different environment. I've already had a few students report that they have COVID. So it just makes it that much more real that we are just in a different environment than what we were hoping for. So all said, it's not that bad, but at the same time, it's unfortunate how everything mapped out. So I'm the happiest ever on some levels, and then otherwise there's kind of the shadow of the pandemic still.
Yeah, I guess we all experienced these ups and downs in the last weeks and months. Pratap, I know you've been traveling too, and you had was it a pleasure to sit in packed cinemas?
So considering the pandemic, I have had a pretty decent summer, I wanted to say. What you're referring to is, Matthias, that the fact that I attended Cannes Film Festival, which was a bit anxiety-making initially because I watched a lot of movies. And part of the pleasure of watching movies is also about sitting in a packed hall with strangers next to each other. And that, in the times of Delta, that was really, really scary. But then I was getting tested every 48 hours, so that put me at ease. So it was fun. Yeah, Cannes was fun. Thomas said, this little slice of paradise I was able to enjoy, despite us living in this pandemic. So now I was very sure that after summer, probably in autumn or in winter, we're going to go on some kind of lockdown. But looks like since most of us are vaccinated, I have a feeling that we will get some privileges. People who are vaccinated will get some kind of privileges. And even if everybody else goes on lockdown, we will, you know, be able to enjoy some liberties. So, yeah, given everything, I have had a decent summer. I hope you've also had a decent summer, Matthias. How was yours?
Yeah, it was okay. I think it was dominated by we just moved to Berlin, and it was quite a shock because since we are back in Germany, which is now a year and a half, we spent most of the time in very suburban area. And now coming to Berlin, from day one, I felt like, oh my God, people are just are gathering as before the pandemic. The supermarkets are crowded, the bars are crowded, the cafes are crowded, the restaurants are crowded, hardly anyone wearing a mask. I felt super uncomfortable and tried to keep distant as much as possible. Yeah. So this was kind of my summer, like trying to adapt here to this other reality of how to deal with a pandemic, I guess. Nimish, we share the same city. You also live in Berlin. How do you experience that?
Well, I mean, when I first came here in March, like you, it was a bit of a... Actually, the first time I came to Berlin last year after the pandemic started, that time it was a big cultural shock because everything was... People were out on the streets and I was just coming in from India from a strict lockdown. But then I think once the soft lockdown sort of started from October onwards, I think till March or April, you would still see restaurants shut and all. But I think once that started lifting up, then, I mean, yeah, like you said, the bars are crowded. Supermarkets always have been crowded. And thankfully, people wear masks on the public transport. So that's good. And in indoor public places like supermarkets and all. But yeah, the restaurants and all, like I live in a place where there are a lot of restaurants around my neighborhood. And initially they used to have outdoor seating where they left one seat empty between two people. But now it's like they are sitting, you know, in such close quarters and like no one's wearing a mask, obviously. Even the waiters and all don't bother with it. So yeah, it's a bit... It's still a bit strange. Although the vaccination rates in Berlin are above 60%, so that I think puts me to some ease, and I've been vaccinated, so I think I feel safe. But yeah, I mean, I still like get a bit anxious if I see like too much of crowding in a place, and I just like immediately put on my mask if I'm carrying one. So yeah.
So now all of us are vaccinated. Question to all of you: do you feel safe actually?
I think I feel safe to some extent, but I have heard cases from my friends back in India. Like I just, like one of my close friends in India, he had got his first vaccine, but he still got COVID-19, you know, so I'm not like, oh, I'm not going to wear a mask or anything, or, you know, like, yes, I mean, I am feeling safe to an extent, but I wouldn't say I wouldn't catch COVID-19 if I'm not careful. So yeah, I think that somewhere at the back of your mind, you are still like, whenever I come home from outside, I still sanitize my hands. And, you know, I think it just become like a muscle memory of sorts.
I think I also have very conflicted feeling. I am also fully vaccinated. On the one hand, I feel safer when I go out for a run, for example. Of course, I'm not wearing masks on a run, but when I meet other people or like bump into other people on the run, I don't feel that that kind of like nervousness anymore. But at the same time, I still have extremely nervous feeling whenever I see a crowd. And then that just pissed me off so much. For example, in the city that I lived in the past few months, the incident rate has been rising.
We wanted to reach out to some of our interviewees of several weeks or months ago. And we asked them to send us a voice memo, and we got back three. It's Aaron from London, Didem from Istanbul, and Fida from Gaza. And I guess they differ a lot in how they experienced the past weeks. So maybe we can listen to Didem first.
First of all, I think the most exciting development in my life right now is that I'm finally fortunate enough to be double vaccinated. So that definitely created a sense of normalcy. And I am able to enjoy long walks in Istanbul and discover different neighborhoods, new cafes and new restaurants. And I'm really happy about that one. In my immediate circles here in Turkey, unfortunately, there were a lot of negative impacts. The pandemic deepened the economic crisis that we already had, and all the inequalities were highlighted, all the class inequalities and structural issues that we've already been having, and obviously limited resources and scarcity and poor performing economy is overall not really good breeding ground for democracy. So in that sense, I'm really worried about what's to come in terms of the economic crisis and how people are really alienated and just really fatigued and tired and lost any sense of trust to the government. And unfortunately, people have really, really a lot of understandable reasons to not necessarily trust everything that the government says. But when your brain is programmed to just be cynical all the time about whatever the authorities are saying, unfortunately, this means that sometimes even when the government says something right, like get your vaccines, then they end up not trusting that either, which is in a way understandable, but also not nice or not acceptable. Another setback in my immediate circles is that the traffic has gotten awful here, I feel. The public transportation has definitely taken a step back because obviously everyone is taking taxis or driving their own cars. And there is in Istanbul, it was never a paradise of traffic in the first place, but I feel that it's become much more of a chore right now to go from A to B. I'm still really excited about remote work, going global, and the possibilities that it might bring. So I was able to go to writing conferences or attend some co-working happy hours and so on, that these are the types of events that would be typically in person. And I might have missed, but I was able to just participate over Zoom. And I know that a lot of these events and organizations will be going hybrid from now on. So I'm excited to see how this will impact my career in the long run, as well as for millions of other people. I'm truly excited about it.
Something she said about COVID's impact on economies, on lost jobs, on generally economies performing poorly because of COVID, that worries me. I think about a lot of that. But I think much more than what COVID itself has done to us, it will take at least a few more years for growing economies to stabilize themselves. I think some people are just not going to be able to find jobs like before, I think. But yeah, Didem has had a pretty decent summer, and she is also looking forward to this hybrid work from home model. So I'm glad for her.
I think I share her concerns with the changing in working norms, with the, well, way that people are now doing telework or having some kind of like hybrid forms of working. I myself have been stuck in front of my laptop for the whole 3 months of summer because there were a lot of conferences during the summer, especially for academics. And normally, I would combine them with traveling to the site of the conferences. But of course, now everything is online. So on the one hand, I save a lot of money. And I mean, to be honest, sometimes it's just way simpler if you can just participate in some events online. And it saves you not only time, but also money. But on the other hand, I'm scared that if this kind of hybrid working culture continues, or basically if people are now getting too used to Zoom, then maybe, yeah, there would be some permanent changes that will lead to the fact that we miss out some real human interactions. I don't know. So... yeah, I think I have some uncertainties about that, but I also see the advantages that Didim has talked about.
I was actually just going to mention the thing that she actually said about traffic, which I thought was interesting, because I've been lamenting the fact that there's been so much more traffic on the roads in the last few months. It's almost as if everybody got the same memo and they're just deciding to go out on the roads. And as someone who has a longer commute now, that is... not what I want to be experiencing. But at the same time, here in the States in 2000, we had less drivers on the road overall, but we had a 7.2% increase in the amount of deaths in terms of vehicular deaths, so which was the highest amount since 2007. So what we were seeing actually on the roadways was a lot of reckless driving because there were no consequences. Police officers were not really pulling anybody over for fear that, you know, their lives were at risk as well and in a new way that they had never really experienced before. And I do think that this return to normalcy, while it has some drawbacks, I'm very thankful for the fact that there are more normal things coming back into play. Like, for example, when we have more people on the roads, that there's more accountability. So it's funny how some of these things are universal experiences that we're all kind of getting used to it, let's say, in terms of trying to get back to our old routines, for better or worse.
Me, a lot about what Didim said was the growing mistrust in the authorities. I guess no matter where all of us live, we experience this to certain degrees. And since I live in Berlin, which is now 2 months, 2.5 months, I've already witnessed, I think, 3 or 4 demonstrations against the government. And against the restrictions and people running around claiming their freedom and claiming it's all a conspiracy and this stuff. Shall we listen to one of our other interviewees that had a very different experience in the past months? That was Fida from Gaza. We listened to her already in 3 episodes. And we were all thinking of her during the last aggression between Israel and the Gaza Strip, which happened in May. So shall we listen to her?
Previously, in a previous podcast, I spoke about my infection of coronavirus in January. And unfortunately, after 2 months, I was infected again with coronavirus. This time was even harder than the first time. Only overall health condition wasn't good because the psychological status, I was not accepting it. In the first few days of learning that I'm infected again, but then I had to convince myself that things happen. All I need to do is to care about myself. Because I learned from my first time I was infected that health, mental health well-being is really important when you deal with the coronavirus. Somehow the virus impacts the way you think, your memory, and everything else. So I used to forget many things. Yeah, like I used to take the taxi, and I even forget to tell the taxi driver where to go. And even I used to pay more than once, and then they would pay back the money to me and say that you already paid. And this state remained for 1 month after the infection. Then I went back to normal life. It was then the month of Ramadan, and we were preparing for Eid celebrations when all of a sudden the Gaza Strip was under bombardment, severe bombardment, a war that has destroyed many memories, and it has affected our well-being and our hopes. And because every time we try to build a life, we are shocked by another crisis. Coming back to the pandemic, and after the aggression, we almost forgot about the pandemic and the coronavirus. No one mentioned it. But as the rest of the world, there is a third wave that has hit the Gaza Strip, and now there are huge campaigns that call for people to be vaccinated. It's good that the vaccination is being allowed into the Gaza Strip, and it is being provided at several health centers in the Gaza Strip. So hopefully that we won't have to witness again closures and complete restrictions and lockdown, because there is no way of having such restriction again imposed, because the life is already has so many challenges, and which we are trying to overcome and create opportunities out of them. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope that all the world would overcome this pandemic. Thank you.
That's heartbreaking. Also, I did not know short-term memory loss is a side effect of COVID. Have you guys heard about that?
Yeah, it's referred to brain fog. It impacts working memory. So the memory that is kind of at the forefront of your mind. So you kind of have difficulties processing information. So meaning if someone tells you something, you might forget it immediately, or you might have something in your head to remember to tell somebody, and then it just slips your mind, but in a way that is just very natural, which is, it's really unfortunate. And if you're not used to it, it can be really disorienting.
Yeah, that is, I think, that part of the her reflections really hit home. Like when she spoke about she paid the taxi guy twice because she couldn't remember it. And my wife has a close friend over in Berlin who was affected by long COVID. And, you know, like this was last year, and like, to date, she can't really do anything without getting super exhausted. And that's what really annoys me a lot when you see people out on the streets and they keep comparing COVID to influenza, or, you know, oh, okay, I've got the vaccination, or it won't be that bad. We don't know. We are still too early in the early stages to know, you know.
We talk a lot about vaccinations all the time, but I mean, I think the real issue is also finding treatment for the disease, right? Because some people will keep getting the disease and the vaccinations are not 100% protection. So I think that's like a really big challenge now for science to come up with some good treatments so that you can actually help people who were infected and got really sick.
Yeah. I think to me, this also opens up on other episodes that we had where people just, or where maybe people didn't say it, but you could feel like the overall situation is so precarious that people just wouldn't mind about the pandemic, because, I mean, especially Durant's Cameroon, people just wouldn't mind because their life is under threat anyway. Like they have to survive from one day to the other by just getting food. But I mean, to maybe conclude here on Fida on a positive note, I really admire her throughout all the feedback that we got from her, that she really focused on the positive side. And yeah, that's something I could not imagine how to maintain this optimism that I hear from just from her voice.
And I really commend her for going through all of this and then still agreeing to working with us on this podcast and recording interviews and sending us the voice memo and doing this despite all the struggles. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you.
So let's go to a very different guest. Let's listen to Aaron Levine, based in London.
Hello, this is Aaron Levine, reporting, updating for Record of Change, giving you a quick update. I'm here with my wife because I have ADD and can't remember any of the questions that I've been asked, but Stephanie has them in front of her.
Hello! What are you looking forward to coming up? What have you been doing and what are you looking forward to?
Well, I have been gigging a lot more. It seems like, you know, the pubs are basically back open and I'm gigging 3 to 4 times a week or, you know, just in varying levels of gigs, sometimes in front of 50 people in a golf club and sometimes in front of 3 people in a pub where they yell at you. But, you know, I'm getting out there, at least half my nights, and practicing, and I'm building up to a show about being a Buddhist Jew in October. I would say the kids' book writing has slightly gone out the window because I'm refocusing on the comedy again. So all that, I'm going to be a kids' book author stuff that I told you about before, temporarily on hiatus. I've got 4 dates booked for my 1-hour show in October, and you just have to look at aaronlevine.com, and I'll be updating it in the next week or two with the dates on there and ways of getting tickets. We started getting back to normal, you know, we kind of finally got our, straight after our wedding, my aunt gave us money to basically go away on a honeymoon, and it's taken 2.5 or 2 years, or however long COVID's been going on for, to actually finally do it, and it was lovely. You know, we had a nice suite in a posh hotel in Bath, but spent most of the time swimming in 10,000-year-old Roman waters, which is just fabulous that you can do that again. It's nice, you know? And people are just accepting that COVID's here, but, you know, we're both double jabbed and we've both had an antibody test to check that, you know, our antibodies are good. We're starting to feel reasonably confident, I think, that we can get around and live life somewhat normally with hand washing and mask wearing and that sort of thing.
Bath was not what we expected. It was much busier because of COVID. Because people were having staycations instead of going.
Yes,
overseas.
It was a staycation thing. Yeah, we really struggled to actually even find a room. I basically booked the poshest suite, not because I was being romantic, because it was the only room available.
Thanks, honey.
You're my honey.
Go, Aaron. So,
wow, that is such an uplifting note to hear.
I also think antibody tests are going to be more common in the near future, actually.
Personally, I'm just so thrilled to hear that they're getting out and about, because I do feel like they were among the more COVID-conscious folks. And I know that the isolation over time, Aaron was basically saying that he had the ability to join Zoom sessions and get to meet people that he would never otherwise meet. I'm gesturing to you guys as part of that. But at the same time, I guess there's something really missing when you feel like you're missing out on life just generally. And having the opportunity to do things that we would do maybe on a weekend and just not think about. I'm just glad to hear a sense of hope in what Aaron's doing, and that they're finding a way to navigate some of the tentative feelings that they were having earlier in the year and being able to balance out saying, well, we're just finding our footing in this, I hate to say it, new normal.
Yeah, again, I don't want to sound like a bad person here, but I also have conflicting feelings about this, because watching the news from here in all of the areas in Europe, then the UK is actually having one of the highest incident rates overall. And then hearing from what Aaron's have just shared, I just got a feeling that he and, of course, other people also have a very positive feelings about going out or participating in social life. Like, I would not imagine myself being in a pub with 50 other people, even if like I am fully vaccinated, I am not yet ready for that. I think I know that he is a very COVID conscious person, and then I believe that he obviously took very good preventious measures. But again, it's a psychological thing for me.
I feel like something like comedy is always a hard area to talk about, because it's almost like live performance. If you don't have an audience, it doesn't mean anything. And I do feel like the Zoom environment, as to what Aaron was saying earlier in the year, it's not the same. You know, even if you have everybody on camera, not being able to hear the laughter, not being able to hear people's feedback it doesn't allow for that same comedic development and workshopping like you would experience in the past. I do feel like that's a really hard call, because, you know, how long do you sit out? I listen to a lot of comedy, and a lot of comedians, when they're talking about this COVID time, they feel like the longer they're out of it, they're losing their skills, they're losing their talents. And even through Zoom, they're just not able to hone that in the same way that they're just used to in live performance. So I do think it's kind of a balancing act, right? I'm very thankful that some people are continuing their craft and their art. Yeah, even though I won't be in the audience, I'll support them remotely.
Yeah, it's difficult. I feel like I would distinguish between spaces indoor where you can wear a mask, or where everybody wears a mask, maybe like a theater or a movie theater. But at a pub where people eat and drink, yeah, I would be more cautious and probably not be in the audience as well.
Well, guilty as charged, I have been going out drinking, but not like every week, every weekend or anything. But I have been out drinking here. And I don't think I'm being reckless. I understand everybody has a responsibility to be COVID cautious. And here, people are checking vaccinations. You need to have either a negative test result or a vaccination certificate. Despite all that, there is still a possibility that you could, you know, catch the virus. But I don't think I'm going to restrict my life like that, because we have done that in the past 2 years. So I am giving myself those liberties, and I'm going out drinking. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, and I think this is to everybody's point of, you know, I think we have to pick and choose where we're willing to take the risks. And so if your social environment means that to feel connected to other people that you want to, say, go to a pub or go to a bar and be able to be a part of that ecosystem, that's kind of, as long as you're not being reckless in other areas of life, I kind of feel like that's justified. As someone who was really, really cautious, as I started coming back into the world, I realized it's almost like I put my life on pause for a long, long time. And I would interact with people that just had no concept as to what it was like to be isolated for that long, that they had lived more normal lives, even as the pandemic was kind of raging through. And I do think that we need to find that balance point of how do we stay responsible but not drive ourselves crazy? Because I feel like, give me a few more months of where I was back in the spring, and I don't think I would have been in as good of a kind of a mental health state as I am now.
Yeah, 100% agree. I just think that for me, it is the questions of whether the risk worth it.
Well, yeah, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. So what do you think is a game plan for someone like you, someone who is really super wary about getting the virus in crowded places?
What is the what?
What is the game plan? Like, you've been vaccinated now. You have mm-hmm. both the doses. You've been vaccinated. What would make you comfortable to go out and live your life now?
I think what would make me feel comfortable to... I am very comfortable going out. I have been making several hiking trips in the areas. But I think what would be very comfortable for me is some places that are not very crowded. And if it is a crowded place, then at least I would feel better if I see people wearing masks. Now that I am aware of the Delta variant.
Yeah, I understand. But I'm more asking about the end game. So yeah, sure. You're saying that you'd be comfortable in a crowd if people are wearing masks.
I mean, for me, it's going to take a while for me to actually figuring out what would be the comfort zone for me, the new comfort zone for me if I'm going out, or the new comfort level for me. I mean, I'm still going out. I met Pratav and Thomas, of course, outside for not only a few, but rather a lot of drinks. And I was very comfortable with that. But if you're asking me now, what is the end game? I don't know. Especially with the constant mutation of the virus, I really don't know. I just feel like we are in a loop again. And we have never got out of that loop.
Shall we shift and look to the future? Look into the glass ball. So after our... after five seasons of Record of Change, it's been a year. We listened to people several times each, and we decided to change the concept of the podcast. Who would like to introduce the new concept? Thomas?
Yeah, I mean, the idea is that we have heard personal stories from all around the world, and we each have our own personal stories, and I think by now we all know what living during a pandemic means. But so we thought, like, for the next seasons, we are going to look more at topics and how the pandemic has not only changed people's lives, but also has changed how some things in this world work, and has how it has impacted industries and, all kinds of different things. So we're going to look at one topic per episode and talk to people who have lived through that change in their area of expertise, whatever it might be. And yeah, there was still going to be personal stories about how people have been affected by the pandemic, but it will be more tied to topics, and maybe we can already tease some of them that we want to look at. We're probably going to start with an episode about technology. How has the pandemic, for example, impacted digitalization, or has technology helped us solve some aspects of the pandemic? We're going to look at pets. A lot of people have gotten pandemic dogs in my circles. We're still keeping the best of our podcast around. Like, we are still trying to keep the global perspective. We're going to look at global issues or at issues in different parts of the world. We're looking at things that have... many things will not be as they were before, and that's what we want to look at. What has the pandemic changed for good?
My relationship with cooking. The pandemic has changed it for good, forever.
Are you cooking more or less?
I hate it more.
Yeah, so maybe that's the last question for tonight. What has the pandemic changed for you for now that you will keep in your life?
I feel like I personally have a fuller appreciation for the normalcy of life that I experience now. So even being in a room with people has a sense of novelty. I'm sure that will wear off at some point, but being in a room, say, with my students has just been reinvigorating in a way that I just never imagined. So these kind of things that were just part of my job before have a kind of a different layer of meaning to them. And I'm hoping that that sticks with me, meaning I hope I continue this sense of really enjoying life way too much for its little things. But as of currently, yeah, I feel like that's something that I've been experiencing and really enjoying.
I think for me, it would be an increased sense of tolerance. Because before all of this, I had never imagined myself to be at home all day or having super repetitive activities and schedules and routines. But yeah, in fact, I have been living with it for more than a year. And of course, I'm still surviving. A little bit crazier, as I have said, but still, I had never expected that I can tolerate that such a repetition that long. And yeah, that means a lot to me. It means that I change a lot about, or like I have altered a lot the way that I see my limit. So I hope that I can explore more. But of course, I also don't want such repetitions to last, let's say, oh well, a few more years. I think I'm going to go nuts.
Yeah, I can relate to what Hui said. I think it's easier for me now to just be at home and don't have this constant influx of new things and filling my leisure time with things to do. Yeah, I think that's definitely something that I'll keep around this. I think we talked about it on the last team episode already, that like the fear of missing out is less now.
I shared with you in another talk, I think the last year and a half, I got more conscious and more emotional about climate change and the impact of climate change. And in some way, my hopes increased that humanity is able to deal with it in a good way. Because now we proved that we can do big changes in very short time. Although I'm swallowing because I see how people are craving the pre-pandemic normalcy, and that makes me a bit doubtful. But yeah, let's stay optimistic here. So I try to keep my optimism.
Finger crossed. Yeah. Although I have seen several travel advertisings spamming in my mailbox.
I guess in the last year and a half, I've just learned to value relationships a lot more, because I realized that before the pandemic, I was doing a full-time job and, you know, it would always be work, and like I wouldn't really involve myself too much with, I mean, yeah, of course I have friends and family and I would talk to them, but it was, I think it would be at some superficial level to some extent. But over the last year and a half, with so many uncertainties and all, I guess it just made me value these relationships even more closely. And, you know, like so I think that's has been something that I've noticed. Yeah.
This was the final episode of our fifth season of Record of Change. Stay tuned for the first episode of season 6 coming out soon, when we will listen to experts on how the pandemic fastened up processes of digitization across the globe. If you like this episode or Record of Change in general, we would love to hear your feedback, and even more so if you would like to share it with your networks. Follow us on your favorite podcast provider, or on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, or our website, recordofchange.com. This podcast is implemented with and by members of the Bosch Alumni Network, a community that brings together former and current fellows, grantees, and staff members of the Robert Bosch Stiftung and its partners. Thank you for listening.